You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a full house this evening right here for you. We're talking a lot of football on the program today and a little basketball as well. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence steps up and in and joins us. We'll talk Army-Navy with Mark. We'll talk some NFL football with Mark. Maybe a little college basketball with Mark. Donnie Wrightside joins us. We're talking NFL football and maybe a little Army-Navy with Donnie Wrightside, sportsbookreview.com's Donnie Wrightside. Camera 2 Drew is no more as we kick it in the podcast booth now, but he's still alive. It's not like, you know, he didn't die and he didn't get fired. Camera 2 Drew makes an appearance on the program to share some of his wisdom. Camera 2 Drew. He knows a lot about the Buffalo Bills, though, right? He knows a lot about the Buffalo Bills. So we'll talk about the Bills. The extent of the knowledge after the Bills. NFL football, though. He's in a comfort zone in the NFL. We just can't ask him about, like, any other sport besides football or hockey. We can't ask him about anything musical, anything in the news. Anything to do with, like, anything besides the Buffalo Bills or Clemson Tigers. And we're, you know. That's pretty much it. As long as we keep it within the realm of 2015 to current. All right. All kidding aside, yeah, Camera 2 Drew is going to. He's going on a honeymoon, Camera 2 Drew. He's going to Sandals Resorts. How much money does this kid make? Like, is he working here just for fun or something like that? Because knowing his salary, I don't see how he's affording going to Sandals. At least people get married and they do these crazy things and stuff. Where do they get the money for this stuff? I don't know. Parents, I guess? Credit card companies? I don't know. I've got no credit, and my father's dead, and my mother's got no money. My sandals, my mother, I'll get a pair of sandals. Like his sandals. No, there's no sandals. All right, so let's get down to business right now. So as I stated, all kidding aside, we got Mark Lawrence, we got Donnie Wrightside, we got Camera 2 Drew joining us on the program. It's the college football bowl season is right around the corner. Starts next week. I think there's 41 of them. So we've got to find some time, man, to dig in and do some research for all 41 bowl games. And as degenerate as it is, and it's not really degenerate-ish. It's kind of pathetic, to be honest with you, but I'll probably see all 41 bowl games in their entirety. And I'm a busy man, but it's part of the process. That's part of me being busy that, you know, but there might be one or two that I'll be like, you know what, I can't do this. There's some pretty bad bowl games on the board this year, guys. Pretty bad bowl games, some pretty cool ones, but the good bowls are sort of later. But nevertheless, so we're going to need a lot of time to do our research on all these crappy bowl games. Even more so trying to do research to figure out who's going to be coaching where. There's a lot of things that upset me about college football. This is at the top of the freaking list. It's freaking ridiculous, man, that these coaches are able to leave and punk their teams out right before a bowl game like this. And you know what? Jimbo Fisher, being the class act that he is, old Jimbo, you know, I can't believe a guy named Jimbo acted like shady. Old Jimbo. Jimbo couldn't even wait for the season to be over. He couldn't even wait for the last damn regular season game and he bolted. How is that accepted? And then, you know, the mainstream, F-tards will talk about what a great guy Jimbo was. And, oh, that was a difficult situation. It was a difficult situation because he screwed them over. That's the only thing difficult about it. I mean, how difficult was it? It was difficult for the kids that got screwed over and lost their coach the day before the game. I'm not so sure how difficult it was for Jimbo Fisher. You know, Willie Taggart. Willie Taggart leaves Oregon after 1 year, man. He left after 1 year. You know, Willie Taggart's now been officially the head coach of three different schools in one calendar year. Pretty impressive, Willie. So you were the South Florida coach a year ago. Then you were the Oregon coach. And now you're the Florida State coach. That's three programs in the span of 365 days for Willie Taggart. And, of course, Willie Taggart then is going to preach loyalty to all the kids, right? These college football coaches are scumbags. And it's freaking comical, man. It's comical. Okay? That they will preach loyalty. And, you know, it used to upset me when some of the college kids didn't want to play in a bowl game. And they're like, you know what? We're not going to play in a bowl game. We're getting ready for the NFL Combine. Why would they play in a bowl game now? Other than for their other teammates. Yet their other teammates, if they were good enough to go into the NFL, they would be as well. You know, it's something has to be done about this, but it won't be. Because you have a bunch of dudes making a lot of money. All right? The university system as a whole in the United States of America is a scam. Throw college football out. It's a hustle. It's a scam. All right? They're teaching kids absolutely nothing. They're sending out millions of kids with the same useless piece of paper, graduate degrees. How's it working out? You know what? The dude that served you your drink is a graduate probably. How'd that work out for you, dude? Hey, I'll take some hot sauce with the wings there, boss. You know, oh, I went to. Yeah, good for you. You know what? Good for you. How's that working out for you? You know what? You got a bunch of crooked college deans, professors, you know, the whole student debt and the college loan system. It's a freaking scam. All right. College is a scam. And the biggest scam of it all is these college football coaches pretending that they give a crap about these kids. All right. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. It's too bad there's not an option for these football players, but there's not a hope in hell, all right? There's not a hope in hell that I would play college basketball in the NCAA if I was good enough to get paid and play in Europe before I went to the NBA. Why would I pimp myself out for free for Duke? Why? What do you get out of this? The entire structure and system is a freaking screw job, and you know what? It's college athletics, right? But, you know, I've been around a long time, and I've learned right now that the college athletics is about a lot of things. It's about TV deals. It's about big-time television contracts. It's about coaches getting free tuition for their kids and free cars and free houses, and it's for them to preach loyalty and character to everyone else when they don't have any. You notice one thing, though. College sports is about everything except one thing, the kids. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got to stack the show. Donnie Wrightside's going to join us in a couple of moments' time. Camera 2 Drew joins us in a studio. Let's send it to Florida right now. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence joins us. And Mark, you know, I just went on a little rant to open up the program like I do on a daily basis. And today's rant was about the college football coaching carousel. And, you know, Willie Taggart, he's coached three teams in 1 year now, Mark. In a span of 365 days, Willie Taggart's been the coach of South Florida, the Oregon Ducks, and now the Florida State Seminoles.
Hey, throw onto that mess, Gabe. In the state of Florida, the seven FBS teams all have a new coach, each seven teams within the last year. Unbelievable.
It's insane.
Seven out of seven, yes.
It's crazy. And you know what? And you know, you hire a few this year and it doesn't mean that it won't bolt next year. That, you know, now it's to the point. How about Jimbo Fisher? Can't even get through the regular season before he splits. I lost a lot of respect for Jimbo. Now you're in Florida. Now it's a little different. FSU is, you know, it's kinda out there, right? It's isolated. I've always thought FSU should be in the SEC to begin with. It's right on the state line, etc. But to me, and I remember earlier in the week, a fan asked Jimbo about loyalty, and they pushed him out, literally, like they physically removed him. And Jimbo Fisher all last week played the old golly shucks. Oh, I'm just happy to be where I am, guys. And all the while, his lawyer and his agent were putting the final details on a contract at A&M. And he bolts. It's, you know, and then these guys preach accountability and character to the players and loyalty and stuff. Like, no wonder the players are all so messed up and nobody cares anymore. Because the coaches don't. The system is really, really, really broken, Mark.
He left and didn't even give word to the players, didn't even congratulate them, talk to them, wish them well, anything. He just bolted. You know, he took his 200 head of cattle, his oil wells, headed for Texas A&M, and that was it. It's all about the money, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know what? At least, like, you know, you tell him, like, man, like, you know, you be honest with him. Say, listen, I've been here for a while. I got problems with the AD. You know what I mean? Be honest with him. You know, say, I got problems with the AD. Or, you know, like, I do respect Scott Frost. Part of me does and part of me doesn't. I'm a Michigan guy. And to me, one of the best Michigan stories ever, of course, is when Bill Frieder left us. So Michigan Wolverines, guys, college basketball tournament, 1989. Michigan aren't a great team. You know, they're like a 19-win team, 19-win team. They're going to the tournament, but they're not really expected to do anything. So Bill Frieder, their longtime coach, accepts the job at Arizona State. And he, you know, at least he had the courage. He goes in and he tells Bo Schembechler, who was the athletic director at the time. All right. And he says, listen, Bo, I got a great deal from Arizona State. I'm going to go, but I don't want to leave you guys in a lurch. I'll coach the team in the NCAA tournament and then I'll go to Arizona State after. Bo Schembechler said, basically, you got 5 minutes to get off my campus. He basically said, clean your locker, clean your office out, and get the hell out of here. And, you know, basically, like, he immediately told security, he no longer has a parking spot. You know, one of those deals? Like, you're out. And he didn't even know anything about basketball, Bo Schembechler. He walked into the room, and he just said to Steve Fisher, hey, you're the assistant. You're the new head coach.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. And basically, the line was, only, you know, we want a Michigan guy coaching our team. And Steve Fisher went and won the national championship.
Wow, what a story. A scorned wife, Bo Schembechler.
Yeah, Bo Schembechler. You know what the best is, too? And, it's, you know, I read Bo's book, Inside Out, and all of his stuff. So the best part was, too, Bo didn't know anything about the basketball team, really, all right? Except he sort of knew there were underachievers. So Bo Schembechler, Mark, actually read up and did research on each player, where they're from, what their deal was. And he's all like, hey, Rice, you know, you're a good shooter, but, you know, why don't you take it to the rack more and suck it up? He went down the list. I know your deal. He gave everyone a speech, and he told them, we don't need Frieder. We're Michigan. And then they went and they won the championship. It's insane. Like, so part of me likes that, and part of me want, like, when Scott Frost said after the game last week, and it really bothers me, Mark, when the media asked the coaches, and the coaches act insulted. Like, they give the media a dirty look. Like, how dare you ask me about this? Like, that's the look that Fisher gave when he was leaving. So Scott Frost says, you know, how dare you? I don't want to talk about this. I want to go be with my team right now. Well, who's your team, Nebraska or Central Florida? And part of me thought, you know what, Frost? Immediately after the game, I'd kick you off the campus. I'm a bowl guy. I think the same thing. I'd say, listen, Frost, you got an hour. Say goodbye to the team, but we want you off our premises by the end of the day. You're no longer welcome here. Maybe I'm being vindictive and being bitter, but part of me, I understand it. Central Florida's not Nebraska, so I don't hold it against Frost. And it turns out Frost will be coaching them in the Peach Bowl as well, Mark. What's your take on all this?
Well, my take is exactly the bottom line. He's going to stay there and coach the football team. He cares about those kids. You saw it in his eyes. He had tears in his eyes after that bowl game, and he wants to complete the mission. He wants to go from a zero-win team to an undefeated team. That'll be his legacy at Central Florida. He really cares about the kids. I think Scott Frost is an upstanding A1 guy, and I don't think you can deny him having an opportunity of taking a job at Nebraska from Central Florida. That's what mid-major college coaching levels are all about, winning, succeeding, and moving on, moving forward. You have to take what's been offered to you, and Nebraska is about as good a job as he's going to find in his career. I'm a big Scott Frost fan, especially after he opted to stay with the football team. I really think that's a class move.
I like it, especially with so much on the line right now. You really put the kids in a bad spot, but let's just look at it from a player's perspective then. So if a coach is coaching a mid-tier program, Mark, okay, And I totally get it. We all know Scott Frost. He played in Nebraska. I mean, it's perfect fit, and no one's going to hold it against him. I get it. But, so he basically is honest with the kids and says, listen, this is my dream job. We all know it's a step up in the coaching world here. You know, it's not personal against you guys. So what's the difference then if a kid gets recruited by a team like Central Florida and then says to the coach halfway through the season, you know, coach, I really love you, man. I love this school. I love it here. But the USC Trojans told me I can play for them, and it's just a better team and a better situation. I'm out of here. Would that be right? No, it wouldn't be right. The coaches are hypocrites, okay? And I'm not singling out Scott Frost because he's not the big villain. He's not the, you know, he's not the villain in this. But to me, the coaches and their word mean nothing to me. And if I was a kid, I would look right through these scumbags and think, you're about you. You're about your wife. You're about the house. You're about the free tuition your little daughters are going to get. You don't give a crap about me. And that's just a damn fact.
Well, you're weighing Jimbo Fisher against Scott Frost.
Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher purely did it for the money. Scott Frost did it for his
heart. That's the thing with Fisher. A&M's not even as good of a job as Florida State is.
No, it's not. It's a step backwards.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's all about the money. It's exactly what it's all about with Jimbo Fisher. And something happened at Florida State where obviously he asked for more money, more concessions, and didn't get them. So he, you know, he called the bluff. He went to A&M. I think he's going to end up paying the price for doing just that. But, again, when you hire at a mid-level school a coach, you know he's coming there, and two things are going to happen always. One, he's going to leave because he's fired, or he's going to leave because he's moving to a better job.
How about Heupel, which is interesting, leaving Missouri for UCF, which – in the grand scheme of things, that's a damn insult. Somebody just left an SEC school to go coach Central Florida.
Well, if Heupel had stayed at Missouri, Barry Odom has really kind of solidified himself there, right? And I did a great job at turnaround this year with that program. So chances are he wasn't going to take that job over there anytime soon. But now he gets to establish himself as a head coach at a school that will end up being the best Group of Five team in college football this year. So I think Heupel's all pretty well pumped up. I think it's a good move for Heupel because of his career. Now, I don't think he owed Missouri anything, and he did a great job, obviously, as an offensive coordinator here.
Yeah.
But Barry Odom wins out because of the job that he did. Josh Heupel ends up doing what he needed to do, and that was to take that first coaching job that was offered to him.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought Sumlin would have been a nice fit there. But anyways, we can go on and on about the coaching carousel. I just think they're all scumbags.
So let me ask you this. Who's going to go to Oregon now? Who takes over to Oregon?
It's got to be Lane Kiffin.
Or Kevin Sumlin, right?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't Lane Kiffin be perfect with the Ducks, dude? Come on, man. Lane only wears Nike stuff. Like, he's Mr. Nike. Dude, it's perfect. It's obvious to me. Like, the fact they haven't done this already.
Yeah, what a matchup. That would be Kiffin against Chip Kelly. Oh. What a football game that would be, huh?
Oh, it'd be awesome. Like I said, yeah, to me. I don't know. Yeah, you're in Sumlin. You know, they're bringing up Mike Leach's name. You know, how about your boy Mario Cristobal from Florida International? To me, he's just not big enough a name for this program.
No, he's not. He's a South Florida guy. He would have been really good down here at Miami of Florida, but obviously that ship sailed. I don't know where he'll end up being. Probably a lifelong defensive coordinator. Who knows what is going to happen there. But Mike Leach, ironically, you talk about him. I was looking at who voted for who in the college football playoffs. He did not vote Ohio State, or he voted Ohio State in for the fifth slot, and he voted Alabama number 9. So I don't know what's in this guy's mind the way he thinks. But out of all the coaches' things, one other quick thought here. You got to remember this next year. DJ Durkin in Maryland voted Ohio State fifth out of the Big Ten Conference here. Remember that next year when Ohio State plays Maryland. Urban Meyer's going to remember that. He got waxed this year. Remember, they beat him 64-13. They gained 66 total yards against the Buckeyes, and he voted not to put the Buckeyes in the playoffs.
Yeah, Mark already breaking into the 2018 playbook. Okay, some little notes. I'm going to remember that one as well.
Yes.
Okay, so one thing I do remember as well is that the Commander-in-Chief trophy is not generally at stake in this Army-Navy game. It's not very often. I think it's only the seventh time, actually, that it's been at stake when Army and Navy play. They often sell the tradition of this football game, but, you know, most of the time it's always been a 3-win Army team, a 2-win Army team, and Navy dominated. Navy won 14 consecutive years. Army beat them last year. And now the game itself, the winner wins the Commander-in-Chief trophy. You know, I'm really looking forward to this. In what's a light weekend, obviously, you know, the calm before the storm, but the bowl's coming up in 2 weeks. This Army-Navy game, this is the biggest Army-Navy game since, you know, in a hell of a long time. We'll put it that way.
Well, there's three things you can count on when it comes to this football game. Like in life, you know, death, taxes, and an under total in this football game. Because all these two teams do is run the football down each other's throat. It's really nice to see that there's a Commander-in-Chief trophy online for Army in this football game here. But if you look at the way the two teams come into the football game, Army on the field this year has outyarded 9 of their 11 opponents. Navy has got outstated in 6 of their last 7 football games, yet Army's the dog here. I'm just a little bit surprised that you're getting better than a field goal in this football contest here. One other quick note I'm going to throw at you in this game here. I did this in my database. Whenever military teams meet and you got an underdog who has the better record, the underdog with the better record in military games, 92-64 all time forever. That's a big number with a lot of games, and that all comes to the Army support in this contest.
Wow. Wow. Yep. Yeah, and I'm looking at Army, too. This isn't the best Navy team. You know, they're going to be fired up. Injuries have caught up to this football team. And you know, Army wanted it bad last year. They get it done. They snapped a 14-year streak. But now this is the icing on the cake. Munkin's done a great job. Jeff Munkin's done a great job, much better than his brother has with the Buccaneers. Jeff Munkin's done a great job building this program, and the Commander-in-Chief trophy, you know they want it bad. It's not like, oh, we beat them last year. And even though Navy's in a revenge spot, I don't know if they're good enough to do anything about it, actually. Like you say, you write about it. I mean, look, Army's 5-1 in their last 6. Navy's 1-5 in their last 6 football games. Army gunning for their first Commander-in-Chief trophy since 1996. They're going to want this one bad. They're going to want it real bad. And you know what, Mark? They're the better defense. We got a better record, a better defense, getting points. There's nothing not to like about Army here.
Gabe, you love defenses that can run the football, because you run the football, you stop the other team, you got a live dog. That's exactly what you've got in Army here. And I told you about that dog with the better win percentage in these military games. By the way, if they have a week of rest and they rush the ball for over 300 yards a season, 12-1 to the spread, it all boils down to that, to Army. So there's some great numbers supporting Army in this football game here, and I'll be surprised if this game kicks off at more than 3 points.
And I'll tell you one thing about the total, too, guys. It's been 11 consecutive years that it's gone under the number. It's been 12 years since they played to an over in this game. Both the teams run the ball, man. The clock just ticks, tick, 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 tick. The clock keeps ticking, all that running right up the middle. All right, let's talk about the Thursday nighter, the National Football League. This is an interesting football game. It's been a bad year in the NFL, but the playoff picture is an interesting one right now in the NFC, and there's going to be a few good teams going to be on the outside looking in the NFC. Looking at this game, you know, I know that the database and the numbers, there's a lot of trends in the Atlanta Falcons ledger, but my eyeball just tells me the Saints are a better football team this year, and it's hard to deal with this 1-2 running back combo that they have right now with Ingram and Kamara.
Well, this Kamara, honestly, I've been told by some people, he looks to be like the next Walter Payton. This guy is that good. He's the reason this resurgence has happened for New Orleans. It's, you know, Ingram wouldn't carry the load alone, but this 1-2 punch is really lethal here for New Orleans this year. You add Drew Brees to the mix, and the fact that the defense has suddenly learned how to stop the opposing teams, it's the reason New Orleans is leading the division right now. But you're looking at the Atlanta Falcons here. They're 2 games back of the Saints. This is do-or-die must-win time, no doubt about it, for the Atlanta Falcons. They're the number 7 seed right now. If the playoffs started this weekend, they'd be on the outside looking in. And I like Matty Ryan in the month of December, especially when he's off a loss here. This game has gone from New Orleans opening up the small dog now to New Orleans the favorite. There's a reason they're the favorite. They're the better team. But I think in the dire straits mode, I like the Atlanta Falcons here.
Imagine if we were talking about a team's running back and we said, all right, here we are right now. We're going into week 14. How's their running back doing? Well, their running back's got 1,243 yards and 13 touchdowns. You'd be like, that's pretty good. You know, running back, it's pretty good, solid. Good. That's Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara in the last 5 games. That's the last 5 yeah. games. They have 1,243 combined rushing yards.
Wow.
And 13 touchdowns. Oh, I should say scrimmage yards. My bad. Total yards, scrimmage yards. And 13 touchdowns in 5 games.
Well, they're leading the assault. There's no question.
And how about their
that.
Defense, Mark? New Orleans, 17.9 points per game in the last 10 games.
That's all part of the improvement here for the Saints. That and Drew Brees is still Drew Brees. He's going to throw for his 5,000 yards every year like he does. He's doing again this year. You know, the question now is, who's the best team in the NFC? Is it New Orleans? Is it Philadelphia? Is it the Rams? We're going to find out about Philadelphia
maybe?
And the Rams later on this week. But right now, New Orleans has some bragging rights.
And Mark, we should note Mark Lawrence's awesome angle of the week play on any NFL division home team off of Thursday. On Thursday, off a straight-up home favorite loss, the spot is 12-3, which would put the Atlanta Falcons in this spot. You mentioned that Ram game, actually. What do you make of that Ram game? Do you think the Rams and Eagles, were the Eagles exposed on Sunday night, or was just that a speed bump?
That was the worst of worst situations any team in the NFL could have gone into. You're talking about Seattle being a home underdog in that particular role here. Philadelphia, the first of three in a row on the road. A real bad spot for the Eagles here. Seattle's just waiting in the wings for them to come into that football game. And given the fact that Seattle won the football game as they did, they still were dominated in the stats by the Eagles. The Eagles are going to go into the Rams this week feeling pretty good about the way they played on the field here off a loss. And it's a statement-making game. The Rams, the Eagles, the better team, all for home field in the NFC. I think in this football game, I think the Eagles are going to fly high.
All right, Mark, I can't wait to read the bowl report next week. Check it out, playbook.com on your mobile device as well. Go over to the Google Store, Playbook Cube. We got 41 bowl games rapidly approaching starting next Saturday. Mark's going to have information for all of them in the playbook. Great stuff as always, Mark. Thanks for the time.
Hey, my pleasure as always, Gabe. Enjoy the games. Let's hope the ball bounces our way.
Oh, we can't forget, Mark. Mark's got a lot of numbers on the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Me and Cam talked about this earlier in the day. I think the Mavericks are a live dog in the NBA tonight.
They are a live dog. You're talking about, I think, Boston playing down to the level of this opposition here tonight. Boston's got the Spurs, San Antonio on deck next. They've only won, covered their spread one of the last eight games that they've hosted Dallas here. Dallas playing their best ball of the season. I got to grab the points.
Mark Lawrence, always a pleasure, sir.
And as always, Gabe, be good.
There's that Mark Lawrence with his great, great stuff. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Donnie Wrightside joins us next. We continue talking NFL football.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's welcome SportsbookReview.com's Donnie Wrightside into the fold. Donnie, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. Ready to talk some NFL football, heading down the back stretch of the season. A lot of money to be made, but a lot of playoff seedings still up in the air. Let's do it.
You know, me and Mark Lawrence, we're just debating the New Orleans Saints-Atlanta Falcons football game. And, you know, he was making an argument for the Falcons being in a must-win situation. There's a lot of trends that fall into the Atlanta Falcons' favor in this spot. But, you know, sometimes, Donnie, you know, you've got to throw out trends and situations out the window and just go with your eyeball and almost common sense. And I'm looking at this football game. I brought these numbers up, all right, Donnie? And I said, imagine if we said, all right, this is what your running back's done. We're going after 13 weeks. Your running back has 1,243 yards from scrimmage and 13 touchdowns. You'd be like, wow, I'll take that. That's like, it's pretty damn good. That's what Ingram and Kamara have done in the last five games, Donnie. Yeah. The last five games, they have combined for at least over 200 yards of scrimmage. They've totaled 1,243 yards and 13 touchdowns. And I'm thinking about this coming into this football game tomorrow night. It's like maybe you can slow one of them down, but when you've got two of them, it's a problem. You know, because are they really both going to be off on the same night? And then let's say they're kind of off. Then you got to deal with Drew Brees that can still throw the football. And you got Michael Thomas. You know, Lattimore is going to be back. He's practicing. It looks like he's going to be back. And over the last 10 games of the season, after the first little few weeks there, Donnie, the New Orleans Saints only given up 17.9 points per football game. The New Orleans Saints are just a better football team than the Falcons are this year.
Gabe, I would agree with you. I mean, let's look years past. When you look at New Orleans Saints, you're only talking about Drew Brees and the offense moving it up and down the field, not really running the football, using those satellite backs like a la Darren Sproles out there, not playing good on defense. But now a complete flip there. The reason why the defense, Gabe, it's not so much personnel or new defensive coordinator coming in from New Orleans side. It's the offense can control the clock. No longer do they have to realize and say, you know what?
Yeah.
Drew Brees, throw 45 times, drop back to pass, throw for 400 yards. Our defense is going to be out there a lot. You can control the game instead of having 3-4 minutes drives, Gabe. They now turn into 5 and 6 minute drives. That's the best component to having a good defense. Overall, New Orleans doing much, much more, Gabe, I agree, than what they've done in the past.
And it's a must-win situation for the Saints as well. It's, and, you know, yeah, the Falcons are a desperate team, but the Saints need to win these games. You know, you've got the Minnesota Vikings keep winning. You've got the Philadelphia Eagles are right there. They need the wins. The Saints know how important home field advantage is. And another thing is the Saints, Saints and Falcons has always been a big home field's never really meant anything here. Yeah, it just doesn't. You know, they're both in domes. They're just they play high scoring games, and the road team has historically done well. I'm starting to really like the Saints in this spot. Actually, I'm not buying in just because the Falcons need it doesn't mean they're going to get it.
Well, also, Gabe, you want to look at as well heading down the stretch. Let's not forget. This is only the first time they're going to play this year. They still have another game on deck. So if you slip up, if you're New Orleans and lose this game, then somehow you lose the next game down in the dome. The tiebreaker no longer affects you, and it's going to go to the Atlanta Falcons. It's a must-win for both these teams. Look at three of the four teams in the NFC South, how close and jumbled they are. Every game down the stretch is a must-win because they all play each other late in the season.
You're exactly right. You know, Carolina, we saw that. Carolina playing New Orleans last week, and the Saints swept the Panthers, so they've got that tiebreaker in their back pocket. Raiders and Chiefs, another division tilt. Big football game. You know, hard to believe that it's for first place right now, only because there's the Raiders just are terrible. And here they are in a first place tie because everyone's 6-6. I'm not buying in, though, Donnie. You know, good for you. You beat the New York Giants last week, you know, with Geno Smith. And the Giants hung around in that football game. You know, I look at the Raiders. They're a 6-6 team. They're 4-7-1 against the spread. They average 20.8 points per football game. They give up 23. They actually give up more points than they score. Kansas City's offense is fine. I mean, Alex Smith threw four touchdowns last week, 366 yards. The defense is an issue, and Eric Berry being out has hurt them a lot. But I don't think Marshawn Lynch and these guys can really take advantage of it. I'm not, you know, people are all the Raiders are back. Crabtree's still suspended. You know, Cooper should play, but he's banged up. I know it's a last gasp effort here, but I got to look at the Chiefs in this spot.
Yeah, Oakland with the suspensions there on the end. Crabtree got the two-game suspension, ruled down the one. He's going to play, but Gabe, Amari Cooper looks like he's probably going to miss his second straight game.
So Crabtree, so Crabtree is down to one, and now so Cooper, and now Cooper's not going to play then. So it's like they're switching roles.
Exactly, exactly. And you want to take a look at, you know, how Kansas City hasn't played well in defense. Marcus Peters is going to be out, but he hasn't played that well over the last month and a half for Kansas City. Gabe, here's the thing it's coming down to here.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. Yeah, he got suspended. Yeah, and why would Andy Reid suspend him? What, because he threw the flag?
It had to be worse. And you know what, Gabe? Usually an Andy Reid-led team, you would get suspended after the game or Monday morning. Something had to go down. It's Wednesday, and we're now hearing about the suspension. That meeting probably went wrong where they tried to sit Marcus Peters down and say, admit you were wrong. No, I'm not wrong. That's probably where it is, and that's going to be a locker room issue. But Kansas City, Gabe, they have it all here on the table. Everybody's 6-6 trying to vie for that division. Kansas City has Oakland and the Chargers at home and the Miami Dolphins at home. Three straight home games, and then you go at Denver. If we just take a quick look at Oakland, yeah, they're on a hot winning streak, Gabe. They beat Denver and they beat the New York Giants. Congratulations, you know?
Yeah, and the Dolphins, you know, the last but before that. You're right. You know, the Chiefs are in trouble. I'm not going to say I'm in love with it. I can't say it's a best bet, but I'm not buying this love sort of for the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are a very good football team. All right. The Cowboys and the Giants. This game is interesting only because it's sort of gut check time for the New York Giants right now. You guys hated the coach? Well, the coach is fired. Coach is fired. You know, you're all upset about Eli Manning getting benched. Well, Eli Manning's back right now. This is actually, there's a lot of pressure on the Giants in this football game, actually. Because if they get rolled and they play terrible, then, you know, last week McAdoo was the whipping boy in the media. This week it'll be Eli. Like, they'll attack Eli after, or they'll just say, you guys are gutless, you wanted McAdoo fired, and look what you did. And the fact that you're playing a division rival in the Dallas Cowboys should motivate them enough to show up here in this spot, too.
I mean, it should. You heard all the things, you know, if we didn't do this, you know, all the ex players going to come out, wear the Eli Manning jerseys in the stands, would be real embarrassing. But you're right. Now it flips on ownership. It's back on Mara's shoulders. It's back on Eli's shoulders. Where is that motivation going to come from? Because again, they're not going to make the playoffs. We're just making a last stand. We're going to play the Cowboys tough this week, the Eagles tough the following week. The one thing I'm looking at with the Dallas Cowboys, Gabe, I like the fact that they're coming off a Thursday night football game. So you get that mini bye week built in. Sean Lee's going to be back. They had a nice victory over Washington. Get those feelings going again. Are they going to make the playoffs? I still don't think they will, but there is a chance, an outside shot, that the Dallas Cowboys can continue to go down. The one thing interesting to me, Gabe, the line opens up at 6, drops down to 4. I don't know if I agree with that movement, and you can't tell me that just going back to Eli Manning is a nice boost and they can win. That's a bad football team, and don't forget about also Sterling Shepard now back into injury mode, missing practice today with a hamstring injury. They're already limited as it is on offense. Dallas, the Cowboys, to me, with Sean Lee back, the better overall team. It is a square play if you're going to take the Cowboys, but I can't back down. I can't back the Giants unless I'm getting one of those games, Gabe, we're getting more than 7 points at this point.
You're a Philadelphia Eagle fan, and I just spoke with Mark Lawrence about this game, and I asked Mark, were they exposed or was it just a speed bump? And he said, no, it was a bad spot, that most teams would have lost in that spot. He doesn't hold it against them, and he likes them to bounce back this week. I'm not so sure, and I'm not saying they're exposed, but I just think this is a tough spot once again. But Donnie, look at the numbers here of Philadelphia and the Rams. It's amazing how even these teams are. You know, Philadelphia are 10-2 straight up. The Rams are 9-3. Philadelphia are 9-3 against the spread. The Rams are 8-4 against the spread. The Eagles 6-6 with the totals. Rams 7-5 to the over. This is where it gets spooky. The Philadelphia Eagles average, Donnie, 30.1 points per football game. The LA Rams, 30.1 points per football game. Philadelphia Eagle defense, they give up 17.9 points per game. L.A. Ram defense, 18.5 points per game. These teams are incredibly even matched when you look at the numbers. On paper, I mean, they're mirror images of each other.
No, you're right. And even let's break it down to even the player standpoint. You know, 1-2 in the draft a year ago, young quarterback.
Yep. Goff, Wentz. You know, yeah, you're right.
Newer head coaches out there, good running backs. You have both attacking front sevens with sometimes a little bit of questions in the secondary. Yep. Almost a mirror image. The one thing I heard today, Gabe, going through a couple stats and stuff, let's not forget that Sean McVay was the offensive coordinator in Washington when Washington had all that recent success against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to play into this game. The one thing I do like, I'm seeing it sitting out there too, even creeping up to 2.5. If you can get 3, I really like the Eagles in that spot. I think they can win the football game, but getting 3 is a nice number. But you're right on point, Gabe. Both of these teams mirror images of each other. And you're right. Mark Lawrence goes back, a tough spot to play in Seattle. Sunday night football. Seattle absolutely needed it. They got an all-world effort out of their quarterback in that football game. I think it's a nice bounce back spot for the Eagles. Stayed out on the West Coast in this game in order to come in as opposed to fly back to Philly, fly back to the West Coast. Should be a good one, but that Sean McVay scenario there, he knows the Eagles and how to beat them, Gabe.
Great point that you just raised with that, with Sean McVay. All right, Donnie, you and I spoke on the late night anger management class about Baltimore and Pittsburgh on SBR. And I'm looking at this game. It is the Sunday nighter. It's going to be real interesting, this one, smash mouth football game. Yeah, Pittsburgh are just coming off a smash mouth football game, guys. You know, you got the Ryan Shazier's out. Juju Schuster's, he's been suspended for a game. He's going to be out. You got a Baltimore Raven team that's starting to peak at the right time right now, playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers team that just played in the most physical football game in recent memory, International Football League. I liked it last night. I haven't changed my mind, Donnie. I like the Ravens +5.
Not at all. Gabe, I actually like it even more. When I'm looking out there, you see like Pinnacle down to -5, -100. Looks like it's probably going to stay around that 5 scenario. 6s were available earlier in the week, but you're right. I think we nailed the scenario that you want to look for. And you're right, Gabe. Baltimore coming in hot. Last 5 games, 40-0 victory, losing by 3 at Tennessee, putting away Green Bay, Houston, and Detroit. The one thing we know, it's going to be a cold weather football game. Give me the points in that. I'll lean on the 5. And as we said before, Gabe, who needs this game more? Baltimore needs to basically, you know, win 3 of the last 4 games at least to get into the playoffs. Pittsburgh Steelers, a little bit more cushion there. The biggest game of the year for Pittsburgh is not this week, Gabe. It's next week versus New England.
Yep.
Give me the points here with the Ravens. I agree.
All right, before we get you out of here, big game, Army-Navy, Commander-in-Chief trophy at stake. You know Army wants this bad. They haven't won this trophy since 1996. We're getting 3.5 points. They're a better defense. They beat them last year, so they've got the confidence. And it's one of these deals where I just think Army's a better football team than Navy is this year.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, you're looking at overall from a talent perspective over the past couple of years, Navy is the better football team talent-wise, but you're seeing the way Army's been coached, ready to go every single game, the MO game. Even if they don't win the game, they're right in it to the end. If you're looking at two of these teams colliding in Philadelphia, give me the plus 3 points. I'll lean on Army, and I know it's a little bit contrarian. I know the games have stayed under. I'm going to lean on the over 46 in this football game. I think both of these teams are going to throw some tricks in there, and I think this game can be played into the low 50s. I'll take the points, and I'll take the over here, Gabe.
I like where you're going with that, Don. Because I tell you what, I see on the front page over at coversexperts.com or covers.com, their big feature stories, 11 straight unders in the Army-Navy game. That means every Johnny Public and Susie Housecoat's going to be clicking the under on Saturday. And you're exactly right. Just because, they're not going to go under for the rest of eternity. Quickly on the way out, what's the weather like in Philly looking like this weekend? Just sort of, it's warmer than usual, right?
Yeah, blah. You know, not too cold, not too warm at this point in the season. You know, no rain or precipitation anticipated. Although in the Army-Navy game, if it's really raining or bad weather, does it matter in those offenses? I don't think so. So yeah, no, nothing big here, Gabe.
It would lead to more points if it was really sloppy because guys would be falling. And for the record,
Bumbles.
Guys,
yep. Yep.
Buffalo Bills, Indianapolis Colts in Buffalo. Nasty snow, cold. We'll keep our eye on that. But great stuff as always, Donnie. We'll speak Sunday.
Love it, Gabe. Take care.
There's Donnie Wrightside. Check out Donnie on a daily basis over at sportsbookreview.com. I believe he's on at 10 a.m. We'll take a quick break. Camera 2, Drew, for better or worse, coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome camera to Drew. If you ever wonder what he looked like, here he is. Here he is, now a married man, camera to Drew. How's married life treating you?
Terrible. No, I'm just kidding. Same stuff, different day. Nothing really changed. I was pretty much married before.
I know, and, you know, let's just be real. I met your lovely wife, and she wore the pants to begin with.
Huh.
So, like, now, like, you must really just be, like, I don't know, what's the, like, sort of like decastrated, that's it.
I don't think, you mean just castrated?
Yeah. Decastrated. Castrated, decastrated, whatever.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I have to ask permission for some stuff.
That's weak.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, you know, I get both aspects of it, but
happy wife, happy life, Gabe.
I'm not big. Yeah, for her.
No, for me too. You don't want an angry wife.
No, it's true. It's true. All right. Nevertheless.
Yeah.
So, you're going on a honeymoon? What, Clemson Tigers, the playoff game?
No, that's
you're taking her to New Orleans.
Yeah, right. She wouldn't want to do that.
I know. Would you even be allowed to go to New Orleans? No, eh?
With my wife? No.
No, like alone. You just told her. Oh, by the way, I'm going on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, she would have no idea. She has no idea about that stuff. So I'd be like, yeah, and bring back some beads. She's like, oh, where do you get those? Oh, nowhere.
So you're saying you would lie? You just sort of say I'm working for the night. You just go to New Orleans for
the
day. Exactly. That's good. All right. Well, if you want to go to the Buffalo Bill game this week, it won't cost a lot of money.
$6 for lower bowl tickets.
That's what it's come to.
On StubHub. That's embarrassing. I almost want to buy some and just try and resell them for $10, make a profit.
You won't be able to.
You don't think so?
No, with the fees and everything, you're going to make money.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
$6, huh?
It's almost worth going. If I wasn't going to Jamaica, I'd for sure be going to this game.
Real bad weather.
Who cares?
Snowy. Wet snow. And should be some real bad quarterback play.
Hey.
But all kidding aside, listen, Tyrod Taylor has a practice this week. There's no point spread for this football game.
He's not playing.
He's not going to play. I mean, what's the point of him playing? We're not making the playoffs.
He's not going to be the quarterback next year either. Let's
be real. Yeah, and I agree. He's not going to be the quarterback next year because haters like you have forced him out.
Not haters like me. He sucks at quarterback. It's his own fault.
It's not his own fault.
It is his own fault. If he was a better quarterback, he wouldn't be forced out.
That's not true. That's not true. If he was a better quarterback, he wouldn't. What are you saying? No, it's not true at all. He's better than Nate Peterman. And Nate Peterman.
That's not saying much.
Nate Peterman's going to be their quarterback.
Just saying, you're not winning anything with Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor, I don't want to argue with you about Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod Taylor will not be out of work long. He will be a starting quarterback next year. So if he's so bad, then why will he be a starter next year somewhere?
Josh McCown's a starter too. I don't think he's very good.
Yeah, but if that's the whole thing. Nobody in the league is good.
I'm saying the NFL quarterback position is bad.
Tyrod Taylor is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL right now.
Maybe.
Yes.
I feel like from 15 to 25, they're all about the same, so...
Yeah, but he's better than those guys.
I don't think so.
He's a top. He's the half tier.
I'd rather Josh McCown behind center.
In a real NFL, Tyrod Taylor should be like the 23rd or 24th best quarterback. They're so bad right now that he's mid tier. Like Josh McCown throws for 300 yards a game now.
And I'd rather him than Taylor.
Josh McCown's terrible. He's been in the league for nine years.
At least he throws to the receivers.
He's just having a decent year now because.
Would you rather Case Keenum or Tyrod Taylor right now?
Case Keenum wouldn't do what he's doing with us.
Fair, but Taylor wouldn't be doing what Case Keenum was doing with Minnesota.
If Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, what do you think the record would be?
6-6?
No.
They don't have 10 wins, I'll tell you that much.
No, they'd have 9-8.
You think they only have two less losses?
Yeah.
Or two less wins?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. If that.
I don't know, Gabe. We have differing opinions. We'll see Taylor go to Denver or Jacksonville next year, and he's going to stink up the joint, and everyone's like, oh, maybe he wasn't actually that good.
Yeah, but you don't understand. So who's a good quarterback then?
There's like 10 of them.
There's not 10 of them.
Yeah.
There's not even 10 of them.
Yeah.
No, there's like 5 good quarterbacks in the entire league.
No.
Yeah.
You're being disrespectful.
Tom Brady's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, good quarterback.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger can't complete a pass like, from here to the parking lot from here. Anything over 20 yards,
he's
can't
a top 10 quarterback, though.
Yeah, still, because, yes, like you said, he's got his veterans.
Yeah,
and, his,
and he's two-minute drill king. Phillip Rivers is up there. And that's
Rivers is good.
That's just AFC.
You know what? Rivers, to me, has always just been an average quarterback, but now he's a star. They all put up numbers.
Yeah,
Blake Bortles throws for 300 yards a week.
Bortles sucks, though.
Yeah, but see, you don't understand. So you think everyone sucks, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's only one
and
or
Taylor's
two.
Worse than all of them.
There's only one Tom Brady. Tom Brady can't be on every team. So it's easy to say, oh, this guy sucks, that guy sucks.
I'm going to say, if you go through the list, I can name at least 17 quarterbacks that are better than Taylor right now.
You can't name 17 quarterbacks that are
better. Okay, I'll look at this list right now. Drew Brees, better. Matt Ryan, better. Matthew Stafford, better. Derek Carr.
That's three.
Derek Carr, better.
Four.
Alex Smith, better.
Five.
Case Keenum, meh.
Meh.
Cam Newton, better. Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton, better.
No.
Yeah,
Andy Dalton's better.
Okay.
Well, no, not well, Andy Dalton. Let's not get carried away.
Okay, let's say whether even. Deshaun Watson, better.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew Luck, better.
I don't know. Who's Andrew Luck?
Okay,
that doesn't even
better.
Play.
Dak Prescott, better.
Yeah.
Eli Manning. Probably
no.
Same level.
No.
Same level.
No. Eli sucks.
Marcus Mariota, better. And I hate Mariota. Just saying, Kirk Cousins better. Philip Rivers
no,
better.
No, no,
Russell
no.
Wilson better.
If Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback of the Titans, that'd be the exact same team.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, see, same level.
You're not taking into account exactly. Like Tyrod Taylor, if he was on these other teams, he'd have more wins. He plays for the Buffalo Bills. Who are his wide receivers?
I understand
our defense sucks. Our coach is a moron, and we have no wide receivers. What do you want him to do?
Play better. It's simple. I'm just
no,
saying.
No, it's not simple.
It's simple. He's had all the opportunity in the world to prove that he's a starting quarterback. And
throwing to who?
It doesn't matter who you're throwing to.
What do you mean it doesn't matter who you're throwing it to?
It does matter
Aaron Rodgers didn't have Jordy Nelson for a year. They sucked. And everyone, oh, I didn't have Jordy Nelson.
If Aaron Rodgers was on the Bills, they'd be a lot better of a football team. At least admit that.
I think the Buffalo Bills, I think we're so bad. And I think the curse is so real.
If Aaron
Rodgers is on the Buffalo Bills, he'd be a mediocre player.
No chance.
We'd ruin him.
No, we'd make the playoffs.
No, you don't know that.
I do know that.
If you dropped Aaron Rodgers right now on the Buffalo Bills.
They'd be better than 6-6.
We'd be better than we are.
100%.
If we drafted Aaron Rodgers and we had him all this time, you think he'd be good right now? What have we ever showed you that we are going to develop anybody into a good player?
I understand that point, but I'm saying this Aaron Rodgers would have us at like...
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that if we drafted him that we would have made him this good.
It's true. I don't know. We screwed up.
Look at all these players that get good as soon as they leave us.
We're a bad franchise. That's that. The segment's over now because all we did was talk about how bad Tyrod Taylor is.
No, I say Tyrod's all right. How much time? We got to get out of here. Great. What's your best bets of the week?
San Fran, Jimmy Garoppolo to beat the Houston Texans money line.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty bold.
I don't think it's that bold.
Camber to Drew.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off at the National Basketball Association. You know what? It's the Minority Report. You know, the consensus, everybody loves the Boston Celtics tonight. Not me. It's 8.5. We're buying it up to 9. I never play half points, guys. I always buy it up to an even number so I don't get screwed. Hey, so give me the Dallas Mavericks plus 9. Give me the Memphis Grizzlies plus 2 against the New York Knicks. Upset special, Detroit Pistons plus 4. This is a favorite we're going to play. Golden State Warriors, yeah, they're without Steph Curry, but come on, man. It's only minus 5. I'll take the Golden State Warriors minus 5 against the Hornets. Give me the Miami Heat plus 8 against the Spurs. Let's go over 198 in this basketball game. Little college hoops, man. I'm picking on the Billikens. Give me the Salukis. Southern Illinois plus 2.5. Let's go Washington and Kansas. Washington and Kansas is like the only cool basketball game tonight in college. Let's go over 158.5. Dogs in the NHL. Give me the Flames plus 155. I'll take the Oilers minus 120 and the Senators minus 105. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.